It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a lot to talk about today. We got a good show lined up for you. Steve Post is going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk about last night's high limit race with Steve Post. We're going to talk about it here in just a moment with Austin here, just for a moment or two. I am curious what people thought of the race last night. I want to know people's comments and thoughts about what transpired last night. 35 cars showed up for the first high limit race. Austin, what did you think of that race last night, bud? Did you think it was pretty good?
Yeah, I thought after what we saw, you know, during track pack and majority of hot laps, you know, typical, Lincoln Park, big curb, you know, slick and wide. And, you know, I feel like the track crew did a good job, getting the track better after what we saw in hot laps and making it that racy. And, you know, for them to not have a whole lot of wing sprint car racing in the area and, you know, mainly USAC and midget racing. And,
right,
you know, for them to come in there and put on a pretty good show or put on a pretty good event and track for the wing cars, I thought was a, you know, pretty good night.
What did you think of the car count? Were you pretty satisfied with 35 cars? Was that good enough for you? I mean, we see other series sometimes have less than that, right? So is 35 a good number?
Yeah, so I was, you know, we left the show yesterday and I was talking to some buddies about, you know, they were asking what was going on, you know, with Larson's race, and they asked what kind of car count I would, you know, think they'd have, and I thought 25 to 35 was my number, and you know, we ended with 35, and, you know, it's, you know, I think I saw an interview with Sweet, and he said this race logistically made sense to have here and at this time, and I can see him saying that making sense in a way, but,
yeah,
you know, we just had the Knoxville Nationals, all the outlaw teams were going to Jackson, and you have some teams going back to the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was, you know, kind of uncertain on what outlaw teams would make their trip, to make their way over. I'm not sure if really any did, or teams that plan on racing at Jackson. But we did see a pretty good, you know, count of local cars there, and we saw, you know, a handful of cars that were making their way back to the East Coast, you know, there. So, you know, for, you know, the situation that they were in, you know, with the date and the time of the race, I thought it was a good car count.
Is it a little too close to the Knoxville Nationals, though? Was this date a little bit too close, do you think?
I mean,
guys are pretty beat up by the end of 10 days at Knoxville, right? If they ran the 360 and they ran the 410, they're pretty spent by right at this point, right?
Yeah. I think they could have moved it to a different date to maybe had a bigger, car count. But, you know, I'm not going to complain with 35 cars. We saw some teams that you would, you know, hardly see, you know, run a wing car like a Justin Grant or,
right,
or some of those local, you know, non-wing guys. But I was, you know, we had some heavy hitters there. We had some big names. But, yeah, it's just tough to have that race there. But, you know, I think it also opened the door up for some guys you maybe wouldn't have seen, kind of sneak in there and make a presence known.
I think the biggest surprise of the night was Alex Bowman being fast qualifier. Were you taken back by that just a little bit?
Nah, he just got lucky. We've seen
he
this.
Went out early.
He went out early. Yeah. You know, it's been a while since I've seen a race at Lincoln Park with USAC. But, you know, we've seen this with 410 wing racing here in the past week and a half of being the first handful of cars out's really where you want to be in qualifying, and the track slows up, you know, throughout the whole field. So, you know, Bowman got lucky. He went out there when the cushion was still kind of small. The track had some moisture in it on the cushion, so you could run up there on it but not bury your right rear in it and toss the nose over like the guys, yeah, you know, later in the field did. So, you know, he got lucky that his first lap was really good because he spun out on his second lap coming off of four.
Right.
But, you know, I think it was cool to see a guy like Bowman who, you know, doesn't run a lot of wing sprint car racing, who's fast at times but doesn't have enough experience to be, you know, really good for, you know, a consecutive period of time, but I think at some point he will. But I thought it was just cool to see somebody like him, you know, pick up quick time.
But don't you think that it, once again, I say this about Cup drivers all the time. Cup drivers are totally underrated as drivers. And I think Alex Bowman has done fairly well in a sprint car as of late. I mean, what, he runs seventh, I think, once with the All-Stars, didn't he? He runs seventh one
Bloomsburg.
Time. Yeah.
He just doesn't. The bad thing about Bowman, he's not like Larson. I feel like that gets to go race
not
as much as Larson does. So
not a ton of talent like Larson, right?
Well, he has talent, but he doesn't get to race a lot. And,
right.
You know, you need to race a lot in sprint car racing to be good because everybody else is racing. And
right.
And then trying to split your time with that in cup racing is just tough. But, you know, for the races that he does get to race, you know, and his finishes, you know, I feel like, you know, compliment.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So at the start of that race, Brady Bacon gets out to an early lead. Weiss was second. I think Larson was third at the time, or moved up to third. Was there a moment there that you thought, because Brady led that till there was, like, what, 16 laps to go. Did you think Brady Bacon might have a chance to win that race last night?
Yeah, I think you could assume that, you know, when he jumped out to the lead there at the start and kind of got away from, you know, the pack and was just, you know, kind of doing his own thing while he was running down lap traffic. And, you know, I think he could have won if he maybe just got through lap traffic a little bit. Well, actually, no.
Early in the race, he was getting through that lap traffic pretty good, though.
Yeah, actually, if it just came back to me that, you know, Sainer's got the lead from him on a restart.
Right.
I think, you know, if he doesn't have the yellows, Brady, and gets through lap traffic fine, I think Brady could have won it. But, you know, it's just when you start having yellows as a leader and you have a guy running second that's doing something different than you and is faster that you just don't know about, it's tough to block that. And it happened to Brady on the restart, and Sainer's was able just, you know, to run the top and get a run and block him, and Sainer's knew where he needed to be at in turns 3 and 4. So,
right.
You know, I think if a couple things go different for Brady,
you think Sainer's wins.
I think you know, Brady could have held on, but you know, that's 35 laps. There's a long time, and at that short track, you get a lot of things thrown at you, and it just didn't really get, you know, go Brady's way.
That was a pretty good battle between Sanders and Larson there for a little bit. They were battling it out pretty good, getting in that traffic, working their way through it a little bit. I thought that was pretty interesting at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, that was kind of early in the race, and
yeah.
When the track was still kind of, you know,
juiced up a little bit.
Yeah, they were all kind of on the bottom, and, you know, Larson made the middle work there, and he was only really one to do it. Everybody else was still kind of on the bottom. And
he went to the middle early, too,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, and I was surprised that nobody else kind of followed him up there. I figured if you see one guy driving by and drive away, you would want to do what he's doing. And then, you know, he had that right rear flat, and at that point the yellow came out, and, you know, they must have, when they rolled around the track, they must have packed in the middle a little bit, and it kind of changed the lines up. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was making it work. It'd be interesting to see if he didn't have the flat, you know, where he would end up, you know, where the track would kind of move if that yellow doesn't come out. But I was, for a moment there, I was thinking, all right, well, Larson's going to promote this race and win it. So that's going to be an interesting, you know, inaugural race.
Right. Chase Stockton, he kind of cost, you think he cost Sanders the race a little bit?
100% cost him the race.
Right.
I was, after hot laps, after I think it was group 3, Sanders went out in his group and went quick time, which every group that went out went quick time, but as the track got faster. But I knew at that point that, you know, we saw how Lincoln Park races and we know what kind of curb it builds, and that's just what Justin Sanders is used to back in California. I mean, look at Placerville. He races there a handful of times a year, and that
right.
thing is probably bigger than it was last night at Placerville. So, you know, he's used to big curb, you know, short tracks, you know, slick to a curb racing, and he was really my pick all night long to win it, and he got to lead, and I figured he could just walk away with it, and he was there for a little bit, and then I don't know if his car started to go away or if it just was he was just making, you know, mistakes on the top, but, you know, he kind of let Buddy and Brady kind of roll up to him.
I think right.
It might have been Corey on the bottom, but kind of roll up to him, and and then Stockton breaks at the back stretch, and I don't know if he broke or just was getting ready to pull off, but he lifted right coming off of two.
Right, and in a bad spot.
It was a horrible spot, and he slowed right in the path of Sanders, and it forced Sanders to dodge him and go to the bottom, and it left the door open for Buddy on the top, and Buddy just rolled around him. But,
yeah,
I'm not sure what happened to Chase. You know, we didn't get to hear, but if you're just going to pull off, make sure you're off the track before you, you know, back off the throttle. I get that exit's really, really narrow and tough, but...
Do we know what his problem was with his car? Did we ever find out?
I haven't heard, but yeah, it just...
Was he underpowered, or did he have power when he was...
He drove it back to the pits, the yellow didn't come out, so I'm assuming he's underpowered, but he just royally screwed Justin Sanders out of a win.
Well, I'm going to give Chase a little bit of a break there, just a little bit, because I don't know if he lost power and he had enough speed to roll off the racetrack. I don't know. We need to know more, a little bit more about what happened to Chase Stockton during that race. He might not have had a choice, right? He might have lost power, and he might have just been coasting off the racetrack. I don't know. I'm just saying. But no doubt it cost Sanders the race. I think so, for sure. I'm with you. I totally agree with you 100% on that. Rick said, but Bowman backed it up with a heat win also. So Bowman did pretty good in his heat race. What did you think of Kyle Larson? His tire didn't look all the way flat, but it looked soft, didn't it?
It's like it put a hole in it. It's like what we saw with Carson Macedo at the Knoxville Nationals, where it stuck a hole in it, and it lost the majority of its air, but still was somewhat up. And he, you know, was able to get it wove down in time and get it to the hot pit and get it changed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he ran something over, or it's just, you know, tire gets hot, blisters, and it blisters hard enough, like either through a sipe or a groove, that it just, you know, goes through the tire. Who knows what. You know what the H15s are like with Hoosier right now. If their quality's still good, or if it's, you know, going downhill again.
Right, right. And at the same time that Larson had that right rear flat, Brent Marks also stopped on the racetrack at the same time. Do we know what happened to him at all? Did we ever hear what happened to him?
I didn't hear. I can look it up and see if they posted anything about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, but. I don't know. It had a pretty a significant hole over there in turn one, though, didn't it? It had a little bit of a hole over there in turn one.
Yeah.
Because Buddy Kofoy talked about that a little bit, how it upset his car.
Yeah, you could see on the broadcast, guys would go in, and right as they would set the car to get the right rear to the curb, it would just kind of bounce the car, you know, one or two times. And that's – that would – it's, you know, with the bad thing about – you know, wing racing on super slick tracks with a big curb is you got to have the wings so far back to tighten you up. But you get it too far back, the front end gets light enough, and you get to the curb wrong, and it knocks the front end over the curb. So that hole was in a really tough spot, because you go through it one lap, and it upsets the car. Now you're into the curb with the right rear, and the front end's light, and now the front end's over the curb. And Buddy got to it like that one lap, but was able to get out of it and save it. But yeah, that hole was in a pretty tricky spot.
Yeah, Kevin and Jordan need to. This is Walker. Walker Berry says Kevin and Jordan need to look at keeping Sanders on full time. The guy can wheel. He is a wheel man, isn't he?
He is. I remember when Justin came to the Midwest in 2020 and ran the Hockett race at Lucas Oil, and I don't remember how he finished, but he put on a show, and he was really fun to race with. And then he, you know, goes back to the West Coast, you know, after that, and dominates, you know, the past year and a half. So he's definitely, you know, proving himself well under the spotlight right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin mentioned at the Nationals, the Swindell, you know, program is set up to give guys an opportunity to show themselves and prove themselves. And I think Justin did that just well. And, you know, hopefully something, you know, big comes out of this, you know, 2 weeks with Swindell.
How about the extra bonus money for Kyle Larson running 10th, and they split up $10,000 amongst the guys that ran first through ninth? How about that? That was a little extra bonus. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool payday. Pretty cool deal that they added to it, and just a reward to some teams. And you know, I finally feel like, yeah, you know, if they can keep this deal together, it's gonna be, you know, kind of like, you know, the late model deal with Flow Racing, that you go race for some big money, and there's, you know, these little you know, gifts, you know, scattered out through the field with some extra money in them.
Right, right. Caleb says, I think that it was strategy to get the All-Star Circuit of Championships and Posse Boys headed back east. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, I think it was kind of more, yeah, to the Posse and to the All-Star guys. The All-Star guys have been off since the end of July. Yeah. They don't race till next week. Then, you know, you had some Posse guys, you know, traveling back home. But, yeah, I definitely think, you know, they were trying to get some of those guys to come, and I think, you know, they had a handful of them show up. But, you know, for their first event, I'm not going to complain about their car count one bit.
Right. Rick, he chimed in. He said High Limit was really good, and the production, I thought, was good too. I like seeing the non-wing guys strapping a wing on. That's kind of interesting to see the guys that kind of normally run there. You know, it was funny how many drivers talked about how they ran non-wing cars there or midgets there, and they'd never ran a wing car before. That was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
It was. I think it's a cool opportunity that they can bring to tracks that don't have wing racing and can get these, you know, non-wing guys an opportunity to do a one-off deal and race at their local track or their home track with a wing on, something that, you know, hardly ever happens. And yeah, it was cool to see some of these non-wing guys, you know, strap the wing on and run pretty well. I would like to see more of them do it here in the future, and maybe, you know, the series can highlight some of these areas that are, you know, non-wing popular, and, you know, go over there and get some of them guys to put wings on their cars.
Right. All California podium, by the way. How about that?
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. You think they take a little extra pride in that by saying that the top three guys were from California? You think they take a little pleasure in that?
I think so. I think if you're a California fan, it's definitely, you know, makes you smile and you're proud of your drivers.
Right.
It just shows, you know, how talented those guys out there are. And you know, if you're from California, you race on tracks just like that.
Right.
You know, every track out there is small, slick, and a curb. So it just shows that, you know, their experience paid off, and, you know, that they were able to, you know, to put together a pretty good night.
You know, for a guy that doesn't drive wing sprint cars a lot, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. picked up a fourth-place finish last night. I think that just shows you what kind of talent Ricky has, right? I mean, he's a very talented race car driver. And he might be more talented driving a sprint car than he is driving a cup car. What do you think?
I'm not sure about that. But, you know, I looked up at one point, you know, later in the race, and he was up to, like, fourth or fifth, and one of the lone cars running the top. And I'm like, all right, because when they showed him in the stream, it looked like he had some speed and a run built up. And I'm like, all right, so Ricky might be an upset here. He might get a, you know, run together and get by some guys and be battling for the lead and the win. But, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I think his last sprint car race was maybe a USCS show in like early, you know, March or February, you know, down in the, like, Alabama, you know, Florida area. So, you know, I think it's been a while since he's been in a wing car. But, yeah, for the races that he does get to run, you know, he always puts on a pretty good show.
Do you think Corey Eliason takes a little bit of pleasure outrunning the 26 car Zeb Wise? Do you think he does?
I would.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you just get booted from your ride and replaced, and now you're out there, you know, just dominating and, you know, beating your car that you were once in.
Yeah, I got to believe that Corey Eliason, who finished third last night, Zeb Wise finished fifth. There's a little self-satisfaction there. I would have to believe that Corey Eliason is gleaming over that a little bit.
And it's not just one race. I think it's been every
It's been going on since he was released, right?
I think it's been since, I'm going to say maybe I-70 and, like, Knoxville when the All-Stars came to town.
Right.
So that's what, 2-3 weeks now?
Yeah. Who was the guy that maybe? How about old Justin Grant running last night, the 17X car? What'd you think about that? He ended up 22nd.
Yeah, they showed him a little bit on the broadcast, and he looked a little uncomfortable in the wing car, but he put it in the show and made all the laps and was able to roll it in the trailer after the night was over. But yeah, I think he doesn't think I can't remember the last time he ran a wing car, but no, it's just pretty cool seeing your Indiana guys get the strap wings on and come race wing car races for a handful of times a year.
So you and I talked a little bit earlier before we went on the air about Dustin Jarrett and Dylan Welch doing the announcing last night. I'm probably going to disagree with you maybe just a little bit. I thought they did a fairly good job. They were very professional and very articulate with their words, unlike myself. But I thought they did a pretty decent job last night.
Yeah.
What do you think?
They did a good job. It wasn't. We've heard plenty of worst.
A lot worse.
Worst, announcers and calling of races. So it was definitely not that bad. But I'm just not sure if that's the duo you guys want to stick with. Next year for that 12 race series. I think Dustin Jarrett's a really good late model announcer. But for sprint car racing where he doesn't spend a lot of time at, I'm not sure that he's the best fit for it.
Knowing the history of the other drivers.
Yeah,
right?
I felt like he relied on Dylan Welch a little too much, mm-hmm. For information and such like that. And then Dylan Welch, I enjoyed his call when he called USAC races, like in 2016, 2015 timeframe. But I just, his non-wing background, I don't really think that it helped or brought anything to the wing broadcast. But, I felt like he brought... He talked about it as his non-wing, or just midget racing
right.
A little too much. But, yeah, it wasn't bad. Like I said, we've heard worse. I wouldn't stick with those two for the whole series next year.
Ethan says, our racing is the only thing we have to be proud of in California. LOL, he said.
I agree with you.
Yeah, a little bit on that. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back... The postman, Steve Post, is going to join us here on the broadcast. Can't wait to hear what he thought of last night's high limit race and the future of that series and how good is it going to be for all of motorsports when it comes to sprint car racing. I think, I don't know. Austin, do you think this is going to be the next big deal in sprint car racing?
I think it could be. I think it could be, a big deal at next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
So here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor along with producer Austin O'Neill. We want to welcome to the show right now, old friend of the Racing Boys, Steve Post, the Postman, joins us now. Steve, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, Scott. Hope all is well with you as well.
Oh, you know, life just plugs along, bud. When you get old, you know, you just kind of mosey along in life, you know what I mean? Just kind of bounce around.
Keep right on rolling, you know?
Yeah. So what did you think about last night's race, the high limit race last night?
Well, first off, I did not get to watch it. I was out at Millbridge doing their Dirt Vision podcast or broadcast. So, I mean, I was following along with it, and I saw some of the highlights and everything. And, you know, it's so weird because you expect – like a grand opening,
right?
With this series, and I think we got a good grand opening with this series.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought the racing was good. I think the show was ran well. Obviously, Buddy Kofoid had a good night. Purse was good. Kyle and Brad and everyone, Kendra over there, they delivered everything they did, and it was good. I almost think the thing, Scott, is that. I was kind of, because I wasn't watching the race, I was watching more of the reaction on some social media,
right.
And there wasn't just this huge buzz about it that I expected we would have. And I don't know what the answer is or the reason is for that.
Let me ask you, Steve, do you think it was just a little bit too close to Knoxville?
I definitely think it was too close to Knoxville.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when and spinning forward on this thing, I think a huge challenge is going to be scheduling, because the drivers that they want to race are already racing 90 to 100 times.
Right.
So you take this week. I think it was too close to the Knoxville Nationals. I think when everyone got done in Knoxville on Saturday night, a bunch of them just wanted to go home. They were wore out. They were tired. Some were there 5 days, 7 days. Some were there 13 or 12, 10 days.
Right.
You know, I mean, and so I think they were wore out. I hope that they realize that a challenge with scheduling is that they did not probably set themselves in good favor with Todd Quarrin, because some cars that might have stayed out and gone to Jackson, they lured them back east.
Right.
And so I think this is going to be the challenge of this. Where are they going to fit in track-wise? Where are they going to fit in schedule? I think the Knoxville hangover is a real deal, and I think it did impact them with a few cars for sure.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one, Steve. I think that they needed to give the guys a break. And I think that you've got a good point, Steve. I think that they're going to have a problem luring some of the drivers in from the All-Stars or some of the drivers from the World of Outlaws. They're going to have a problem luring those guys in because of the travel they'd have to do in between trying to get to one of the high-limit events and then back to a World of Outlaw event or back to an All-Star event. I think they're going to have a little problem there with that, don't you?
Well, and the question is, where are they going to hold these races?
Right.
You know, one of the things they talked about is hold them close to World of Outlaw races.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where the guys can go on the way. And they've even talked about this might lure another car to a World of Outlaw weekend. And I think that, in theory, sounds good. Name me some tracks that are going to be able to do this.
Right.
And what is the World of Outlaws' reaction to this? You know, I mean, is a World of Outlaws sanctioned track going to host one of these races? We don't know the answer to that. We also know that the Platinum Agreement, how that all boils down. So, you know, where are we going to hold them? The one that I hear all the time is Lernerville, okay, on their way to Pennsylvania to hit Lernerville.
Yep.
Okay, so there's one. You know, I mean, where's another one and another one and another one? You
right.
know, where's the dozen tracks? Where does this fit in? Does a track take one of these dates, knowing that it might hinder their opportunity to get a World of Outlaw date somewhere down the road? Or if they have a date, are they going to be allowed to take one date?
Right.
You know, and I think scheduling is going to be a huge challenge with this thing. And again, these drivers, it's not like, you know, okay, so you can't really, what can you expect in the month of June with Ohio Speed Week and Pennsylvania Speed Week already in play?
Right.
You know, where are we getting cars from? Where are we going with this thing? So I think the premise of the thing and the theory of the thing is really, really good. I think the implementation of it, there might be a few challenges here.
I think that they're going to see more of, I hate to say this, and I hate to try to be negative a little bit here, but I got a feeling that they're going to get a lot of regional drivers and maybe not a lot of the stars that run with the All-Stars and with the World of Outlaws. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, the problem is the sprint car racers want to race.
Right.
You know, and so you're looking at a 60 or 70 race All-Star calendar, and maybe they can make them so they're compatible with that. You're looking at a 90 World of Outlaw race calendar.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at a 12 race high limits calendar. You know, if they could, and again, I think this gets into scheduling. If in the perfect world, if they could schedule those things within a couple of hours of the World of Outlaw races and get through the Platinum agreements, I think they can. But in how many tracks are capable to hosting a race with this kind of a purse as well?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, Brad and Kyle and Flow Racing are invested in this thing. But I think ultimately you got to look at track size as well, as far as putting the number of fannies in the seats to kind of make this thing break even, if not make a few bucks along the way.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to have to do a wait and see approach on this, right? We're just going to have to kind of see how it all transpires over time. Let me ask you this, Steve, and you are closer to the World of Outlaws and the All-Stars than we are here at Mostly Motorsports. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Tony Stewart, or do you think the World Racing Group is happy with what's going on with this high limit steel? Do you think they're happy about that?
I don't have a read. I don't have a read on the All-Stars. So I don't really know about that.
Yeah.
I'm fairly confident the World of Outlaws are not happy with us. You know, I mean, some of the body language, some of the just I don't think that they're happy with it. And mm-hmm. so what can they do about it? Well, you've got tracks and you've got drivers. And how much hardball does the World of Outlaws want to do? How much hardball do they want to play?
Right.
And we'll see. I think that's going to determine a lot of this. You know, if they decide that it's a hard and fast platinum agreement that it sits now, and the answer is no, are they going to lose drivers from a 90 race tour for a 12 race tour?
That could happen.
That's a tough sell. I mean, that's a really tough sell. Now, granted, they could pull a Brett Marks or a Brian Brown and do an independent schedule, but mm-hmm. you know, everything is not perfect with the World of Outlaws. Everything is not perfect with the All Stars. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But look at the purses the last couple of years. They're certainly pointed in a better direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the World of Outlaws, it used to be it ended at Knoxville, okay? The mm-hmm. year ended at Knoxville, and you would just roll out the string. Well, $25,000 at the Jackson Nationals, $25,000 at the Sage Fruit Skagit Nationals, $20,000 coming up at the Silver Cup, okay? Then you've got the National Open in there. And so the very thing that and I want more money in every race car driver's hands. And if High Limits can do this and make it work, I am all in. I am all for it.
Yeah.
But this World of Outlaws, the prize money and the purse money in World of Outlaws has pointed in a pretty good direction in the last 2 years as well. And so if the World of Outlaws are playing hardball with this thing, are you going to lure guys into an independent schedule versus running with the tour, with the platinum agreement, you know, with the toll money, you know, right. with the bonus money, with the point fund and everything else? It might be a little tougher sell than everyone thinks.
I have to agree with you 100% on that. All right, let's step back to last weekend. Donnie Schatz picks up his 11th Knoxville Nationals. You know what I noticed more than anything, Steve? I noticed that the fans were pulling for Donnie Schatz. Unlike years ago when planes used to fly around, anybody but Schatz, right? It felt like right. the fans were rooting for Donnie Schatz to win that race on Saturday night. Would you agree with that?
A lot more. It was night and day what it used to be. And I was talking, actually, texting back and forth with Deanna, Donnie's sister, and the family was blown away. You know, when Donnie took the lead, they're so used to when Donnie taking the lead, the bristles. You know, it's like, oh boy, here we go. You know, and it was not that. It was very good. But let's look at Donnie. And I have a website. I have a blog, postman68.com, and I wrote a blog about the Schatz family yesterday that I put out there. And when you look at Donnie 5 years ago, okay, walk in the pit area, say something to Donnie. If you're lucky, you get grunted at.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And he focused on his race car. You never saw the personal side of Donnie Schatz.
Right.
You never saw the personality of him. You just, it was buttoned up, and you knew that Donnie Schatz was getting on his airplane and going back to Schatz Crossroads up in North Dakota, and he was going to get on his airplane Friday morning and come back, and you never saw anything. Donnie, we have seen way more personality from Donnie Schatz. Throw in the fact that he lost his dad, and this has been they've been remarkably public with Danny Schatz. 2019, they announced that he had the cancer, and Donnie never shied away from talking about it. We had him on Wing Nation multiple times, and he talked about his dad, his dad's impact. So you have that, and all of a sudden, it's a little softer Donnie Schatz.
Yeah.
You know, this is a real person. This is a real guy.
Right.
His nieces start racing. Well, you can't mention his nieces, and his eyes just light up with pride and talking about that. So, you know, we have a softer, more people understand Donnie Schatz, the person, a lot more than they did 5 years ago, because Donnie has given us a glimpse in there. And
right.
the family, with the trials, the triumphs, they've given us a glimpse into the Schatz family. And so I think he's far more personal. And then I really believe that we as Americans love a good comeback story.
Oh, absolutely.
And Donnie Schatz winning Knoxville is a good comeback story. And I just think that we all root for that. Now, he goes back and wins three in a row, we're probably going to be back booing again.
Right.
You know, but right. I really think we as a society love a good comeback story. Donnie Schatz gave us a good comeback story. The way he won the race, I mean, it was tactical. He analyzed it. He set gravel up, and he didn't mess around with him. He passed him. He took the Knoxville Nationals win. He's a personal guy that just lost his dad at the end of June. And that, I think, all put together is part of the reaction we saw for Donnie Schatz. And it was neat to see. And Donnie is never going to say much about it. But his sister, I know for a fact, she was blown away by the reaction to it. And it was neat stuff. It really was.
Do you feel that if Kyle Larson wouldn't have that right rear flat, that he would have went up there and made a run at Donnie?
I think he'd have gone up there and made a run at Donnie. Making a run at Donnie and beating Donnie are two different things.
That's true.
And I am telling you, and Tony Stewart, we had Tony Stewart on Wing Nation Saturday night there live, and he said, this is a different Donnie Schatz than we've ever seen here at Knoxville. He came on, they came on Monday night or Sunday night for the Cappy. They never run the Cappy, but they had two things they wanted to try, shot passages they wanted to try. They came to the Cappy, ran it. Donnie got on his plane, flew back to North Dakota. Come in Wednesday, they tried the other shot package. Donnie gets on his plane, flies back to North Dakota. They tried, and so they finished second in both those races. And in both those races, they were the fastest car at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did some experimenting with it. And I think Donnie Schatz knew one of those two packages were going to take him to the promised land. Which one was it? Tony even said that Donnie got there Friday afternoon, and they got together, and Donnie was not even drinking anything as far as alcoholic drinks go. He was focused, and Tony told us that Donnie Schatz was the most focused he's ever seen him coming into Knoxville because he knew this was a really, really legit good shot at winning the race.
Right.
So back to your question, Kyle Larson. I think Kyle Larson would have made it interesting, but I'm not sure that there might not have been another gear for Donnie Schatz that he didn't need to tap into if Kyle Larson would have been up there. Just my opinion. The greats have that other gear.
Right.
And Donnie found a gear when it came time to go by David Gravel, but I'm not 100% sure. There might not have been another gear there if that 57 car would have been up there. I think Donnie Schatz was going to be tough to handle no matter who was racing in that race. And Larson having a flat tire certainly took away that. But the way that Schatz car was rolling at the end, that car was in a league of its own at the end of those races.
It really was. It really was. And, you know, there was a point during the race when I thought that Brent Marks was going to make a run towards the front. He was working the bottom. Donnie was working the bottom, and Brent Marks was working the bottom. A lot of the guys like Logan Schuchart, Tyler Courtney, Jacob Allen, they were working the top. But it looked like Brent Marks was going to work his way to the front on the bottom, just like Donnie Schatz was doing. But he kind of faded there at the end and ended up running seventh. Were you a little surprised by that?
Yes, I was. I was not surprised because I watched the same thing you watched.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this thing, and I think it was right after the break, and Brent got that thing wound up, and he raced up to fourth, maybe to third, and he was rolling. And I'm like, here we go. We've seen this before. Eldora times two, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Brent Marks gets this thing dialed in, and you're right. And then all of a sudden he just sat there, and then the attention was on Donnie at that point.
Yeah.
Because what Brent couldn't do, make the bottom work, is good. Donnie was making that bottom work. And I am telling you, exiting turn where I was sitting low in turn number one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Exiting turn number two, there was nobody close to as fast as Donnie Schatz was exiting turn number two. And the way that car would go through three and four, holy cow, Scott, you'd sit there and you'd watch it. And you're like, you almost were like, did the other guys think the caution came out? There were times when Donnie went through three and four and watching it from way down low in turn one, it was like, oh my gosh, it was just dramatically different, and
yeah,
he was able to do. But I'm with you. I thought at one point during that race, I thought, here we go, Brent Marks is going to win the Knoxville Nationals, the way that car was rolling. And he got to a certain spot. He got up there, caught Sunshine or whoever it was, and then wasn't able to get any further forward.
Yeah. I think the biggest disappointment of anybody that ran in the 410 Nationals this year had to be Blackjack Brian Brown. He ended up running 21st. He took his primary car. And I've got this through the grapevine that Danny Lasoski did not want him to run that primary car at the Capitani on Sunday. And what happens at the Capitani? He destroys that race car. And Brown just didn't have a very good 2 weeks. At the 360 Nationals, at the 410 Nationals, he just didn't have much success.
No, he won a prelim night, Friday night of the 360 Nationals, and that's the only time.
That's it.
And he raced his way in on the Hard Knocks show on Friday night.
Yeah.
But it was very, it was, Brian was, when we go to Knoxville, Brian Brown is not another car.
Right.
Brian Brown is a car that you keep an eye on all week long.
Exactly.
Brian Brown was another car out in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And it was great watching him scratch and claw his way into the Knoxville Nationals on Friday night. And that was all well and fine, but the reality of it is, Scott, he wasn't going anywhere when that race went green, you know. And I remember Brian Brown when you're like, I remember him a couple years back, him and up there, he's up there mixing it up with shots for the win,
right,
at the Nationals, and they just the Nationals are, it's so weird because it's so brutal, and you just when you watch teams, watch Donnie Schott's team. They tried one thing on Saturday or Sunday night at the Capitani Classic, not to win the Capitani Classic.
Yeah.
They tried one thing to win the Knoxville Nationals. They tried another thing on Wednesday night, not to win the Wednesday night prelim, mm-hmm, but to win the Knoxville Nationals. And they protected their bullet. They put it in a spot where they didn't have to race on Friday night. They could minimize it. They roll in there on Saturday. They run their hot lap session. They decide which one they're going to go with the first half, which was the wrong idea. But they knew all along, if that one didn't work, the other one likely would. And when they put that other one in, it was game, set, match. And so I just think we all talk about this car's as good as that car and that car's as good as this car. I just think that if you've got one really, really good bullet, you better hang on to that and roll it out on Saturday night intact, not cobbled together, intact and ready to go. And I just think that they got behind themselves with that crash at the Capitani Classic, and they honestly never recovered and just put themselves behind the eight ball, did Brownie and his team.
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit about what happened on the opening lap with Parker Price Miller and J.J. Hickel. That was a brutal wreck. Now, I don't know if you had a good chance to look at Hickel's car, but that car was completely destroyed. And then when Parker Price Miller gets out of the car, he falls down on the ground, and now we know that he's got a couple vertebrae problems. What'd you think about that there? Parker Price Miller has gone through so much with his cancer.
My God.
And now he's going to have to go sit out of a race car for 6 weeks at the minimum. I think it's going to be 6 weeks, right? To be honest,
yeah,
with you, if it's me and if I'm the parent of Parker Price Miller, I don't want him back in a race car the rest of the year. I want him to heal up all the way and make sure that he's completely healed before he gets back in a race car.
And Scott, how remarkable he was performing on the All-Star Tour while battling cancer.
Oh,
you know, I mean,
crazy.
He's not just out there making laps. He's competing. He's contending. He's winning races. And so, you know, I mean, it's just heartbreaking what happened to PPM on that first lap crash. And you know, the thing of it is, it's the first lap. There's 24 cars in turn one.
Yeah,
stuff happens, you know, and the first lap original starts are a good opportunity to gain spots, so everyone is up on the wheel, and unfortunately for Parker Price Miller, he was the victim of it, and here we sit. And they said 6 weeks. Well, you know, that puts you toward the end of September is what that puts you. Well,
yeah,
I'm kind of with you on that. The problem is, and where they're at with it is, when you look at the All-Star schedule between now and the end of September, holy cow. I mean, they've got three nights this week up in upstate New York, Outlaw Speedway, Utica Roman, Weed Sport. Next weekend, five nights in Pennsylvania. They've got Babs Motor Speedway. They got Bridgeport. Well, they might have Babs. They've got five nights in Central Pennsylvania next week. I think it is Babs, and then it's Bloomsburg, Bridgeport, Williams Grove, Lincoln, and Bedford. You know, then you get into September. They've got the big Sharon Nationals up at Sharon. I think that's Labor Day weekend. Then the Tuscarora 50. Then they go to Lincoln 2 weeks later for the Dirt Classic. Well, that's about 6 weeks from now. So at this point, I'm kind of with you. If Parker Price is 6 weeks out, that puts you on the backside of a lot of money, a lot of winnings, and let's just get all healed up and get ready to go and, just kind of do it. Now, we say that I would expect Parker Price Miller in the car in about 4 weeks, probably.
Right.
You know, I mean, just knowing how tough he is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's the best plan, but I think that that's what he's going to hope to do and wish to do there. But man, I'm with you, man. This poor kid, holy cow! What a bad sequence of events he's had.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There was one point during the All-Star Circuit of Champions season where he was the only driver to finish in the top 10 every race up to that point. I can't remember how many races into the schedule it was, but he was the only guy that had finished in the top 10 in every race. And this is right when he gets done with his cancer treatments. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, what he has done is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What Parker Price Miller has done is unbelievable. Locking himself into the Knoxville Nationals is unbelievable.
No doubt.
And then this, lap one, turn one, you have this go on, and you know, I mean, the reality of it is that I expect him to be back. I expect him to be competitive. I expect him to be fast. I expect him to win races because that's who he is. He's a dedicated and determined, talented young race car driver. But, man, oh, man, you just shake your head and wonder what you just got to sit back and go, what next? You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, we're visiting with Steve Post. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be a part of our show. On most Wednesdays, I know that you got to travel a lot, Steve. What do you got coming up on Wing Nation? And before I let you go, what did you think about last week's Cup race before we let you get out of here?
Yeah, last week's Cup race, I mean, we are seeing Kevin Harvick, absolutely amazing. Just again, Kevin Harvick, they found something over the summer, mm-hmm. Kevin Harvick has. And what they found the last 2 weeks is perfect execution. Whether it's strategy or pit stops or whatever it is, they have figured out the execution of the speed that they have, everything that they've been able to gain over the last 2 months, if you will, of the season. And boy, if that team is executing, they put themselves in a category of dangerous when it comes to the playoffs. So I think that was great. Christopher Bell has shown just great speed across the board. Christopher Bell's going to be one we might want to keep an eye on as well.
No doubt.
He's showing up at the front of the field a whole lot more than he used to. I know he's not getting the wins, but he's showing up at the front of the field and qualifying on the pole and doing things a lot more frequent than he used to. So that's what I look at when I look at that Cup race on Sunday up at Richmond, and then the season is just upside down. We have two more races left. We've got Watkins Glen, which can be a wild card race. Someone out of the blue can win this one. And then we go to Daytona, which is the ultimate wild card race. The Cup Series has been bonkers, and I expect it to continue to be bonkers the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Well, we appreciate you always taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, we want to thank our friends over at Sage Fruit for allowing you to come over here and be a part of the show. What are you doing this weekend? What are you going to do this weekend?
Well, Scott, I don't have much going on this weekend. I'm tonight going out to Millbridge to watch the micros.
Yeah.
Weather permitting, tomorrow night I'm going to upstate New York for Watkins Glen, so I'm going to Canandaigua to watch the Super Dirt Car Series.
Great.
On Friday evening at 6 o'clock, I've got the ARCA race at Watkins Glen. After that, I'm going to drive 20 minutes north to see the All-Stars up at Outlaw. And then Saturday, Xfinity Series at Watkins Glen. Sunday Cup Series at Watkins Glen. So, kind of an average week here, an average weekend in my life with last night's races at Micro or at Millbridge. I think it's 7 races in 6 nights or something like that.
Wow. I only wish I could live your life, Steve. I can just tell you. Yeah.
I'm loving it. I really am. It's going to be cool. I grew up on the big block modifieds. I hope that weather's questionable for tomorrow night. I hope I get up to see them. I haven't seen them run on some of their home tracks in quite some time. But if I do, I do. If I don't, well, we'll just find something else to do.
I'm sure you will. Steve, thanks again for taking the time here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure.
All right. There you have it. The Postman, Steve Post, joining us here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show and I got to talk what me and Kirk are going to do tonight when we come back. More of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Want to remind everybody about the great track tribute that's going on right now at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's all about Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. This exhibit is going to be going on through October 1st. They've got all kinds of cars, videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot Park. It's a great exhibit, folks. We were up there. We did our show from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. several days up there during the 360 Nationals and the 410 Nationals. You've got to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You've got to see this great track tribute to Ascot Park. And while you're there, why don't you go over there and purchase some raffle tickets for the 2022 Triple X chassis? This is a complete 410 sprint car, folks. A race-ready 410 sprint car. And plus, they're going to give you $25,000 to help you pay for the taxes on it as well. They're going to be giving that away on Friday, December 16th. If you can't make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always go online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. You can buy your raffle tickets right there online if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You need to get up there, though, and check out the great track tribute to Ascot Park. Get up there. Do whatever you can to get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's just a great exhibit up there right now for Ascot Park. And buy you a raffle ticket while you're there as well. Caleb said, Friendship Motor Speedway closed its gates for the season. Presser was very long, but initially stated that they would try of putting up with unruly fans. They were tired of putting up with unruly fans and drivers. I've never heard that one before. Has anybody ever heard that before? Unruly fans and drivers. They close a racetrack because of unruly fans and drivers. You ever heard that before, Austin? Ever?
That might be the first for me.
That is a first for me. Sad to hear that. Maybe a warning to other tracks across the country, Tammy says. She chimed in on that. Tammy, thank you for always being a loyal listener. We appreciate you so much. So Kirk and I are going to go tonight to a concert with Todd Surprise. And we're going to go see a guy by the name of Richie Kotzen. And tomorrow night, I'm going to go see Blackberry Smoke. So I'm going to go to two concerts, 2 days in a row. But tonight, we're going to go see Richie Kotzen. Can we pot up a little bit of that music if it's playing? I think it might be playing. Richie Kotzen, if you don't know, he was the guitar player that replaced CC DeVille in Poison. And he ended up getting kicked out of the band because he fooled around with the drummer's wife. Just so you know. He got kicked out of the band. They pulled over the bus on the side of the road, took out all of his equipment, laid him on the side of the road, and left him there, and took off. He is, let me tell you something about Richie Kotzen as a guitar player. He is one of the great guitar players in the country. He plays with his fingers. He plays with his fingernails, and he plucks as he plays. Kind of like a banjo player, but with an electric guitar. And let me tell you something. He is fantastic. So I'm looking forward. Kirk has never been to Knuckleheads in Kansas City. This is the first time that he's going to go. I'm not sure that Todd's ever been to Knuckleheads. He might have been down there before. But we're going to have a good time tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to going down there and checking out some great guitar playing tonight with Richie Kotzen. So, again, thanks everybody for tuning into the show. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works for Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott. I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. We're trying to get a hold of Buddy Kofoit. Hopefully he'll join us tomorrow on the show. For Austin, for Kirk, I'm Scott. We'll see you tomorrow right here, Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.